How you doing? You with me? And we're kind of a quiet bunch this morning. Even the kids were quiet. That was something. But I almost feel like, you know, we need to stand and well, yeah, why not? Let's go ahead and stand just a moment. Just stand and stretch for a moment. Yeah, I heard that. And as we head into God's Word, let's pray again. Lord, for your truth, your wisdom, we ask the beauty of your Spirit to speak. And we praise you for your perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. How needy are you? You know, it's not a bad thing. What does Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? How needy are you for God? Scripture tells us it's actually a really good thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That implies neediness, right? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. We just sang that, right? I wait for you. And yet we have this funny cultural thing, don't we? If we describe someone, well, they're a little needy, you know. That's usually regarded as a negative. We are naturally so fiercely independent as a culture. And the problem is that can affect our practical theology. In other words, that can affect the way that we live with God. We use terms like self-made to refer to people of achievement. And we leave God, the one who gave us everything, sadly, out of the equation. And you kind of wonder if God would have a thing or two to say about that. And he does over and over again in Scripture. Here's actually one place where the prophet Jeremiah is warning his people to turn from their sins. But they're hard-hearted. They're relying on themselves for everything. Here it is. Listen and pay attention. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. Let's just stop right there. If you're not giving glory to the Lord your God, whom are you giving glory to? I mean, think about our culture, American Idol kind of thing, right? Give glory to the Lord your God before it is too late. Acknowledge him before he brings darkness upon you, causing you to stumble and fall on the darkening mountains. For then, when you look for light, you will find only terrible darkness and gloom. And if you still refuse to listen, I will weep alone because of your pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be led away into exile. How descriptive that is of the human condition. We turn from God. We encounter the consequences. And God's heart is broken for us. A little while ago, I received a note from my friend Ruth, whom I mentioned to you a couple of sermons ago. She was the daughter of a professor at Cornell, and we used to discuss the Christian faith when we were exchange students together in Germany, and I told her about how I had shared her story with you, how she had come to Jesus years ago, and how she told me after she had, that she summed up her whole experience by saying, "I've got the love of God." And after I told her about that, she wrote me back and she said, "That was precisely how he awoke me, James. The revelation was that the aggregate, and again, her dad, mathematics professor, she still talks that way. The revelation was that the aggregate of all human love was not simply more love, it was infinitely larger. It was, is God. Praise be to him." And the very next line of thinking, though more like revelation again, was, "I've been so arrogant. How could I have missed you, God? But I know how. It was indeed intellectual hubris and self-sufficiency that claimed no need for a God." I've often wondered why I hear the sermon over and over again about people not feeling worthy to come to the Lord. But my own experience, as well as many peers, I would argue, has much more been, who needs a God? It was only after I was born anew that I recognized my arrogance. Pride is such a subtle thing at times, isn't it? You know, you maybe it's not so subtle. Here's another example of a prayer like that, the pride of the human heart. Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The thing you gotta love in this passage of Scripture is the neediness of the tax collector's prayer. "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." So let's go back to that question again. How about you and me? How needy are we when it comes to God? I think one of the reasons Jesus said that we have to be like little children to come into the kingdom of God is because of their neediness, right? I mean, the funny thing about kids is they need us for everything, but they don't think that they do. It's ingrained in human nature, and sometimes we never grow out of it, right? But man, leave your kids alone for just a day, and you don't want to go there. The other day, my daughter was playing a CD for our two-year-old grandson when "Jesus Loves Me" came on. And his eyes got wide, and he said, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Do you know it? Do you know it? And let me tell you, that really spoke to my daughter. She immediately got on the phone with us and told us about it. And as I thought about it, I thought, man, I want to be like that when I grow up. You know, I want to be increasingly in that place of, yeah, Jesus loves me. And in that place of recognizing, I need that. Man, I really need that. And I want that kind of childlike enthusiasm to flow naturally out of me so that I'm going to share that with others. This past week, Carrie and I had the blessing of seeing several old friends in California. Some we haven't seen over 25 years. And some were really like that. They were distinctly warmer in their faith than they had been a long time ago. It was beautiful to see. But it was also sad to see that some were not. Some were actually just kind of filled with themselves and focused, so focused on this world and themselves. And I don't mean to sound judgmental in that, because I've got to watch myself. Don't we? But you look at that and you think, well, hey, what direction is my heart moving in? What direction is my soul moving in for all of eternity? You know, the truth is, we've got to get this right in our culture. Because think of how deeply we need God in our country today. Oh yeah, we have so much. But there is a reason the churches are increasingly empty on Sunday mornings. And you can't blame it all on the church. You know, certainly. The fact is, these are hard times. Scripture reminds us that our adversary, the devil, prowls around seeking whom he will devour. But sometimes part of his strategy is to let us do well. Because often when we're successful in one way or another, hey, what do I need God for? No, we'd never say that, really. But isn't that often how it works if we are not careful? And if the mercy of God's Spirit is not at work within us to draw us near? How it often works is it's the crises of our lives, right? That humble us and bring us to our knees. And God moves through those places to convict us and draw us near. But if that doesn't happen, sometimes we're just fine. I was talking with a friend of mine who's a former FBI trained law enforcement officer out in California, and we were talking about this whole issue of independence and self-reliance, and he said, you know, sometimes, and he had just walked with his wife through Alzheimer's and had buried her a couple of years before. He said, sometimes in our independence, man, we just don't know. We just don't know. And sometimes it's as if we're, he said, just a crisis waiting to happen. Because if God can't get us to turn to him through any other means. Well, what will it take? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Sermon today has one point, and this is basically it. God loves it when we are needy for him. God loves it when we recognize how everything depends on him, how we can't get enough of him, how God loves it when our hearts cry out for him. Now, what we might naturally call common sense would also say yes, but God would also have us be strong and do what we can, right? God loves it when we use the gifts he's given us. God loves it when we stand on our own two feet. Yes, but careful. Careful. That's fine as long as the goal of our doing and being is serving him, living for him, building his kingdom and not our own. And honestly, very honestly, how often is that the real motive of our hearts? Is that the place where we're living? It's challenging, isn't it? Moment by moment, God, help me to do this for you. Help me to live for you. What you want for my life, not what I want. Starting the day with, Lord, I am your servant today, and then keeping that going as you go through the day. We want to be more needy when it comes to God, to lean on him more, because it is then that we see what only he can do. It is then that we see him move in beautiful ways. You know, God loves it when we're needy, not because he wants to see us grovel, but because it is then that we're closest to him, walking in love with him, open to his goodness and mercy and the wonders of his presence and power. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. He said, I can only do what the Father tells me, right? Here's what one writer, Ole Halsby, in an excellent book on prayer, said about neediness before God. Notice how graciously prayer has been designed. To pray is nothing more involved than to let Jesus into our needs. To pray is to give Jesus permission to employ his powers in the alleviation of our distress. To pray is to let Jesus glorify his name in the midst of our needs. Martin Luther always liked to cut to the chase, and he put it this way: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Makes sense. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You are the branches, right? It implies that connectedness through which his life flows through us. There's another interesting thought from Charles Spurgeon. The most healthy state of a Christian is always to be empty of self and constantly depending on the Lord for supply. To always be poor in self and rich in Jesus. To be weak as a butterfly personally, but mighty through God to do great things. That is the value of prayer. Well, it adores God. It lays his creatures where they should be, in the very dust. Apart from the benefits it brings, prayer is itself in itself is a great benefit to Christians as a daily exercise. Gives a runner strength for the race. We acquire energy for the great race of life by the secret labor of prayer. Prayer preens the wings of God's young eagles so they might learn to soar above the clouds. Prayer prepares God's warriors, sending them out to combat with their nerves steadied and their muscles firm. But the kind of prayer that he's talking about here isn't just the kind of prayer that throws up a request or two and runs out the door. It's the kind that waits before him, that is wordless before him, not only listening, but simply being in his presence, loving him, drawing strength from him, and letting his love shine into us. Remember what the Holy Spirit told the Apostle Paul? I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Do you want to see God move? Do you want to do something great for him? And oh, sometimes God's greatest things are the smallest things. Do you want to make a difference? A lasting, eternal difference as you live in this world. It all starts with neediness. And I know this is simple. And I know this is basic. And yet, are we living in that place? Can't we grow into this all the more? Think of what John said about Jesus. I must, what? Decrease. He must, what? Increase. And that happens as we say, oh, I need you, I need you. Moment by moment. You might have wondered about the picture on the front of the bulletin. The Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2 also tells us that God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. Let's go back to Martin Luther's words. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Breathe him. He breathed into us and we became, Scripture says, a living being. Breathe in the neediness of prayer. breathe Him. Let's pray. Lord, as we talk about this, I'm convicted of my own need. We simply move too fast. Get done with the sermon so we can get on to the next thing. And yet you are the author of life. The author of salvation. Scripture calls you both of those things. Lord, we need you. We need you more than we know. And oh Lord, we thank you that you love it when we come to you and admit that. And you fill us and you give us more of yourself. And oh Lord, we want that. But oh, we need you to help us get our hearts right in this. And so we ask even now in this moment as we sit quietly before you that you would. We can claim nothing. We didn't even ask to be born. You made us. And because we are the work of your hands, help us, O Lord, to be yours. For you. Maybe this morning as you thought about these things, you realized that you can't look back on your life and say, yeah, there's been a point where I've said, yes, I really want that and need that more than anything else. Will you look at Jesus and his cross, the forgiveness that he offers, where you've received that and made it your own, please, this is your moment to do that. To say, yes, Lord, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Come in. Fill me with your love and with your life. I want to breathe you in. Maybe there's, as we've been talking about this, a place in your life, even though you've been walking with God, where you think, no, I've been doing this area in my own strength. Would you breathe him into that place? Would you say, yes, Lord, come in. I need you. How good is God that as we come to him, he gives us more. He gives us his peace. He gives us his strength. He pours his spirit into us. Oh, Lord, help us to be open vessels. Receiving you. Flow through us, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.